Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. All right, now this morning, as you know, the message was Team Spirit. Tonight's message goes from that. And it's called Make Something Happen. My coach on the football team used to say that all the time. Come on, make something happen. Make something happen. And what he was referring to is a reversal. If the offense, if the other team was on offense, and we were on defense, he wanted us to make something happen to reverse that, that we would be on offense. It was always the idea of the fact that don't just go along with the circumstance. Don't just go along with the way the game is going. You change it. You make something happen. Jesus says much the same thing. Now, what I'm going to do is look at this by the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul, and then we're going to look at Jesus and some others in the Word of God and see exactly what this means to us today. Now, I'm going to start in 2 Timothy. So if you want to go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. So he's, and I'm going to look at the next verse too, but first this. He tells us that we are to do something. We're to make something happen. Yes, we've all been baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of us, I think all of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just reside in us. He moves through us. Remember, the Word of God says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick or oppressed of the devil. So there was the cause, that was the Holy Spirit in Jesus, and the effect, he went about doing good and healing. So the Holy Spirit in us is not just to be in us, it's to move through us. He moves through us to do the work of the ministry, to do something. And in order to do that, we make something happen. He says, stir up the gift within you. The gift is not talking about, it's not like the Holy Spirit is, you know, sleeping or something, or he's idle and we got to stir him up. No, it's talking about, the scriptures talking about us stirring up ourselves, that we would move with the Spirit, that we would get involved with the Spirit. Because look at the next verse. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Normally, I talk about that scripture concerning the mind, but we're also talking about making something happen. If everything is going along in a particular direction, we tend to, as Pastor Mary Beth said, follow the path of least resistance, kind of go with the flow. But there are times, and many times, we need to stand against the flow. We need to go against the flow, go upstream, not downstream. We need to change the direction, alter the circumstance, and alter everything that's going that way. Here's a good example in the area of healing. Somebody has contracted some kind of a disease. The doctor says, this is the progression of it. This is how it goes. And so the person gets mentally prepared for the disease to ravage their body. They know what the next step is. They know what the next symptom is. They know what to look for. And they're anticipating it. They're looking for it. Well, that is just kind of going along with the natural, going along with the circumstance. Then someone comes in and says, take a stand. Take a stand on God's word and don't allow this disease to ravage your body. Fight back in Jesus' name. Make something happen. So you take the word of God, you take a stand, and you say, I'm not going to be pushed back an inch. I'm not going to descend into those circumstances or symptoms. I'm taking a stand right here, and I'm pushing back against the disease. I'm pushing back against the symptoms. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. Now, it's not just a statement. It is an act of warfare. So you begin to advance. You begin to speak the word of God. You begin to memorize the word of God, to meditate in the word of God. Read testimonies of people who've been healed miraculously. Build yourself up. Hear good, anointed preaching and teaching of the word of God. And you will begin to make something happen. You'll turn the tide. You'll make a change. But we cannot be afraid. He says, but God has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't be afraid to shake things up. Don't be afraid to take a stand. Don't be afraid. There are a lot of people that are afraid to rile up the devil. There are a lot of people that are afraid that he's going to get revenge on them or make it worse. You know what? He's under our feet. The word of God says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Now, when to resist the devil means we've got to push back. We've got to take a stand and go against the work of the enemy. And when we do, we win. When we don't, we lose. It's as simple as that. So make something happen. Let's look at Jesus making something happen. I'm going to go to a scripture that we talk about it in a completely different way. But the Lord brought me to this for tonight's message. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Normally, I take this story out of the book of John, but I want to show you something in Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together to Jesus and told him all things that they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart into a desert place or a quiet place, a place without a lot of cities and towns and villages, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew, and ran there out of all the cities, and outran them, and came together unto them. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place. In other words, they weren't in the middle of the sandy desert or even the Judean wilderness. They're just saying, there's nothing, there are no stores here. There are no houses here, no people here other than the ones that are here with us. He said, and the time is far past, send them away that they may go into the country round about, into villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So the apostles want to send them to nearby villages, nearby towns, where there are stores, where they can buy bread. But look at what Jesus says, verse 37. He answered them and said, you give them something to eat. In other words, Jesus looks at them and says, make something happen. Now, they are totally convinced that everybody has to go to a store and buy something. They're totally convinced that the only thing they can do is send the people away, that they can go and buy food in stores. They have no sense that they can do anything other than that. Jesus, however, he knows what can be done. He wants them to do it. He wants to include them in the supernatural, in a miracle. So he says, you give them to eat. And of course, they protest and they said, what are we supposed to do? We don't have enough money. We'd have to work a year to get the kind of money to buy the food. Because again, what is their mentality? Buying food. That's all they can think of. We got to buy food. Jesus is thinking multiplication. But in order for there to be multiplication, there must be something to start with. That's why he looks at them and says, what do we have? What do we have? And they say 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that's all he needs. Now, he is looking at this massive crowd, and he is expecting to feed this massive crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Why? Because he's going to make something happen. He is not going to accept the circumstance as it is. He's not going to accept the lack. He's not going to allow these poor people who have been hungering and thirsting for the word of God to go away physically hungry and stumble along the way or faint along the way. So he looks at them and he wants them to do it. They have a lack of faith. They're looking at money and buying things. Jesus is looking at multiplying what we already have. That could be part of the reason we don't make something happen, because we've got to look at what we have as a starting point. And then we can spring from there and make something happen, but it shakes everything up. The people are all told to sit down. Then the apostles are told to give them the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they don't run out. And every single person gets something. Now, what did they learn that day? They learned that we all have something to begin with. They learned that in the hands of God, whatever we have, he will multiply. And we learned, or they learned, and we learned that it multiplied not at the point of prayer, but at the point of distribution, when they were giving it. Each of those steps is a step of faith. It takes faith to make something happen. It takes faith to turn the circumstance. It takes faith to not accept the status quo, but to change it up. It takes faith to go forward and see, miraculously, something happen that shouldn't have happened and that most people would not even attempt because of personal fear or because their idea is in money or in some other way. Jesus just looks at the need, multiplies at the point of need. So make something happen. Let's look at, we don't need to turn, but let's talk about some others. Elijah. The people of Israel, were in a quandary. They did not know who to worship. Of course, we think, how can they not know who to worship? They're the people of God. They're the chosen people. And they have this history of all of these things that were going on, the miracles of Egypt and all that. And but you have to remember that by the time of Elijah, there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was Judah, Jerusalem, and the temple. The northern kingdom, from the outset, was developed along lines of apostasy. They had a temple in Bethel, and they had a temple in Dan, and they had bulls that they were worshiping because the kings did not want the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, to go to Judah, to the southern kingdom, to the temple. So they made temples there. So they kind of forced this on them. And so there were generation after generation of not knowing the Lord. So Elijah comes on the scene, and he's going to make something happen. He's not going to accept the status quo. He wants them to serve God. So they have all hundreds of prophets of Baal, but he wants them to serve God. So, you know, he goes up to Mount Carmel. He has that whole showdown. But think about the nerve that he had. I mean, the faith that he had to go up there and tell them, you go ahead and you build your altars and you slay the bulls and you, you know, bring down fire. And then to know that he can do it. Now, I don't think that he went around bringing fire down from heaven on a regular basis, but he was about to do it, and he was about to do it at the word of the Lord. He was not going to accept the status quo. He was going to change the nation, and so he made something happen, and he built that altar, and he put the bull on it, poured water on it, and then called on the name of the Lord, and the fire fell, and the rest is history. The people fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." What is that but a mini revival? That is an example of revival. The fire of God falls because someone challenges the status quo and the people flock to the Lord. Isn't that a picture of revival? Can we do something like this? Can we challenge the circumstances of our lives and make something happen that would cause people to say, you know what? They've got something going on. The Lord is God. The Lord truly is God. There is a God, and he's the Lord. That's making something happen. Let's look at another one. Moses. I just mentioned, referenced Moses. Moses, you know, he's raised in the palace. He has a cushy life. He's happy. He's doesn't have any want in his life. He lives in a palace. He has food. He has clothing. He has everything he wants, money. And then he kills the man. Kills an Egyptian. He has to flee the country, has to run for his life. So he goes out into the wilderness and he marries Zipporah and he's content. He's happy. He's content. He doesn't have the palace. He doesn't have all the money. He doesn't have all the clothing. He doesn't have, you know, all the wealth. However, he's content. And then the Lord speaks to him. And what does the Lord say? I want you to go back to Egypt and make something happen. That's basically what he's telling him. I want you to make something happen. And Moses, of course, says, I can't speak. You know, he doesn't voice this, but I'm sure it's on his heart. I'm a criminal. I'm a wanted criminal back there. And yet the Lord says, I will be with you. Now, there's a key. When we make something happen, it's with God, not outside of God. It's not a crazy crackpot idea. It is something in the Lord. It's something by the Spirit of God. So the Lord says, I will be with you. And he goes back to Egypt and he challenges the status quo. The Israelites had been slaves for hundreds of years. They were slaves. And now he was going to challenge that. He was going to set them free. He was going to challenge the power of Pharaoh. Here he is, a shepherd that lives in tents in the wilderness, and he comes to the royal courts, and he's going to challenge the power of Pharaoh, one of the most powerful people on the face of the earth at that time. Stand up to him, speak to him, and command him to let the people go. God was going to make something happen through a willing accomplice. Are you and I willing accomplices to make something happen? Yes, it may be that we're going to come up against something that's bigger, stronger, and more powerful than us, but God is in us, the Spirit of God within us, that we can make something happen. You know, right now, as I'm saying this, I don't know the status, Diana, of that newsletter. I don't know what's happened. I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks, but make something happen there. Make something happen. If it hasn't already been published, make something happen. Make it happen through prayer. Make it happen by the confession of faith. Make it happen. Make something happen. Don't go along with the status quo any longer. And at this point, it may have already gone out. But make something happen. Take your faith and use it to make something happen. Now, Moses made it happen. And the people were set free. And there was miracle after miracle after miracle. It wasn't instantaneous. We may need more than one miracle. We may go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and it will happen, though, but we have got to stick with it. We've got to stay the course, hold fast to confession of faith, and be on the rock where our feet will not slide, and it will happen. We've got to make something happen. We've got a challenge. We've got a challenge. Okay, who else? What about Gideon? You know, you say, Pastor Frank, you always use the same people over and over. These are people that are reflections of the born-again Christian, because they're people who were in fear, in hiding, pitiful. They were content with their lives. They weren't looking for change. They weren't looking for anything more. And God got a hold of them, and their lives were turned around. They were changed. Gideon, he had consigned himself to his life. He's hiding. He's pitiful. He's afraid. So he's you know, threshing that wheat in the wine press, and God comes to him and says, basically, I want you to make something happen. I've heard the cry of my people. I want you to make something happen. And of course, Gideon gives every reason why he can't. He can't. And some of you that are listening to the word tonight, you may on the inside be listing the reasons why you can't make something happen. However, God said to Gideon, I will be with you. And he says to you tonight, I am with you. I am with you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? For greater is he that's in us than anything in the world. So Gideon was told, make something happen. And after the Lord convinced him, he did. He made something happen. He caused that the Israel would be free. He became a judge and ruled Israel. This is an example. Now, just think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul would go from city to city. He went to major cities. He was in Ephesus. He was in Corinth. He was in Rome. He was in Athens. But when he went to a city, he would observe the city for a while. He would observe what they believed. He'd listen to what they're saying, and they'd debate, and they'd talk. And then he would make something happen. For example, in Athens, he goes to Mars Hill. Areopagus is what it's called in Greek. And that was like the speaker's place. That's where a speaker would address crowds. So he goes up there and he addresses the people of Athens. And he uses something he had heard or seen there in Athens. And he talks about the unknown God, a temple to an unknown God. And he uses that to make something happen and tell them, I know who he is, and I will introduce you to him. And he plays up on that, and he makes something happen. He would go to a riverside where people, if you know, when he met Lydia, he goes down to a place where people go to pray. So he would look for a place to make something happen. And he went there. And he, of course, he made something happen, and Lydia comes into the kingdom of God, and he has a place to stay, and probably the wealthiest woman in the whole New Testament. If he's staying in her house, he would make something happen. Each and every place he went, he made something happen. Sometimes it would have to be, it was for himself. For example, when he was arrested with Silas and beaten and put in prison, he made something happen. How did he make something happen? Worship and praise. Worship and praise. As they're praying and praising God, that's when the earthquake happens. That's when the jail is rattled. And that's when he is set free. He made something happen. How about, let's talk about the book of Acts again. Peter's arrested, and the church, they've had enough. James has already been killed. The church said, no more. We are going to challenge the status quo. We are going to challenge the circumstances. We are not going to allow the devil to take Peter just like that. So they started praying, and they prayed without ceasing. They prayed, kind of like we've been asking everybody to pray for revival, 15 minutes or more each and every day, praying for the zip codes. We're in week two of the zip codes starting today. So prayer, and as they're praying, that's when Peter is set free. There is no reason that that jail door should have been open. There's no reason that the prison door should have opened. There's no reason the chain should have fallen from his hands. There's no reason that an angel should have appeared to him other than the fact that the church was making something happen. When we as a church pray together, we make something happen. When we as a church believe together, we make something happen. We may be the individuals who go out and do it, but it's because of the prayer. It's because of the faith. It's because of the word, because of the church family working together as a team. That will make something happen. On and on, we can talk about the various people throughout the Word of God that challenged the circumstance to make something happen. Jesus, of course, did it over and over and over. He goes into the temple, and what does he see? All the buyers and sellers of merchandise. He sees all the people changing money. He knows that a lot of that is illegal. Not illegal, but shady. It's a little bit shady. You know that I've discussed in other messages the difference between the Israeli shekel and the Roman shekel. The Roman coinage and the Jewish Israeli coinage was different, had a different, it was the same coin, but it did carry, it had a different monetary value because the Jewish money could only be used there in Israel or Judea, and the Roman coinage could be used anywhere in the empire. So it was much more valuable. And so we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were in controlling the concessions in the temple were pocketing the Roman coins, and because they were there, that's exactly what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to get the Roman coins from the people and give them the acceptable Jewish coins to pay their temple tax. And you know, though, that they were pocketing the Roman coins, and they were not giving an equal amount. So in any way, there's a lot of shady business going on there. And Jesus goes, and he doesn't accept the status quo. The scripture comes to him by the Spirit of God and says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. That began to burn in his heart, a house of prayer, a house with the presence of God, a house that we're worshiping God, a place where we are serving God, not a place where we're making money, not a place where we're skimming off the top, not a place where we're buying and selling. And he turns over the money changers' tables. He lets the animals go free. He made something happen. He made something happen. Are you ready to make something happen? Are you trusting God to make something happen? Paul is in Acts chapter 14, and he's there, and he sees this man. There's a man there listening to him intently. And as he's listening intently, Paul gets a word of knowledge that the man has faith to be healed. So he reaches down, he pulls him up on his feet, and the man is instantly healed. Paul made something happen. Peter and John going to the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3. They see the beggar who's there day after day after day, always begging. They must have passed him before. They must have seen him before. But this time, when he asks them for something, they tell him, look at us. He looks expectantly. Peter and John made something happen. They brought about a physical miracle of healing in the man, made something happen. Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda, and the man is there for 38 years in the pool of Bethesda. He can't get healed, hasn't been healed, and Jesus looks at him and says, do you want to be healed? And then he says, make something happen. Jesus basically tells the man who couldn't move to make something happen, who was expecting somebody to put him in the water to make something happen, that was waiting for a miracle of the water to make something happen. And he said, get up. and pick up your bed. Make something happen. The man who could not walk, who could not move, made something happen by responding to the word of God, by acting upon the word of God, and he got instantly healed. The woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, she made something happen. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And she found a way to get to Jesus and touch the tzitzit of his prayer shawl, the fringe, and she got her healing. She was no longer going to accept the status quo that it had to be a doctor, had to pay for it. She was going to touch Jesus and get her healing. The four friends of the paralyzed man, they knew that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, Jesus would heal him. They tried and tried and tried, but the crowd was too big. They couldn't get anywhere near Jesus. He couldn't get anywhere near the house. So they decide, we are going to make something happen. They go up on the roof, and they begin to break open a hole in the roof, and they let him down through the hole in the roof because they were going to make something happen. Are you as radical as that? Can we be as radical as that? Can we trust God and believe God that when we do something like that, something will happen? Jesus looks at him and says, he looks at the faith of the friends and says, your sins are forgiven. And then he tells him to get up, and he gets up and walks. He made something happen. Can you challenge the circumstances of life? Can you challenge the circumstances in your place of business, in your job, your coworkers? Can you challenge the circumstance? Can you challenge the sickness that may try to attach to your body? Can you challenge the symptoms that you may have had in the past or may have in the present? Can you take a stand on the rock and say, no more? I'm not backing down. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward in faith. I'm going to make something happen in the name of Jesus. And as you pray in the Holy Spirit, as you speak the word of God, as you meditate in the word of God, you will see changes take place. But as Paul said, but don't fear. You've not received the spirit of fear. The first thing that comes in when we try to make something happen is maybe I'm not up for this. Maybe this isn't God. You've not received a spirit of fear, but of love. Is what you're doing based on the love of God? Is what you're about to do based on the love of God? You received the spirit of love and of power. Is it going to take power? Is it going to be supernatural power? Is it going to be the power of God? Love, power, and a sound mind. Are you going to stabilize on this? You are going to hold fast. You are not going to be moved. You're not backing down. You're holding on. You're going forward. You're not going anywhere. You're going to trust God all the way. Once you start, you hold on. You go through all the way. You don't go halfway and quit. Are you willing to do what it takes, to be what it takes, to say what it takes, to pray what it takes, to make something happen? I believe there is nothing that is not of God that we can't push back against. Whatever is going on in our lives, it may be in the financial realm, family realm, social realm, employment, whatever it may be, we can make something happen in every area. Physical realm, health realm, we can make something happen. Do not let the devil push you around. Do not let circumstances dictate and control our lives. Make something happen. If there's lack, let there be abundance. If there's need, let it be supplied. If there's sickness, let there be health and healing. Whatever it may be, begin to see that you are bigger with Christ. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m., and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.